Hey everybody, it's Kyle here. There's not going to be a new Boogie Monster this week. Dave has to be in Georgia handling some family matters. If you've been on social media and follow him, I'm sure you're informed as to what's happening. But all our best wishes and good vibes are going out to Dave. But we will be airing our previously recorded Patreon-only Q&A sessions, which are pretty foolish as everything else is. So please enjoy those. We're both sorry for the pause in programming, but I'm sure you understand, and just take care of yourselves out there, everybody. All right, thanks. Bye.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm.
Cloaked in secrecy, they show up without warning. State their business, then vanish as quickly as they appear.
Are you ready for the sex girls?
Not that I believe in it, but I can see that. But these guys are dumb.
Freaking nerds.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
You want to just peruse these on the fly or have some...
Yeah, especially since I started.
Oh, okay.
I got you.
Oh, God, you always get me.
Man, you got to pay attention here.
Jeez, can't sleep on Kinane.
You totally can. I am not sharp. We decided, hey, welcome, everybody.
This
is the first special episode.
Yeah.
It's a few days late.
I said give or take a few days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much everything. I wish we could do every Tuesday, give or take a few days. Like once a week on average.
Yeah.
But
first episode for the, is it patrons? The thing is Patreon, but the people who have pledged, are they our patrons?
Patreon sounds like, is that like a Greek term for?
I guess.
Welcome to that's Pantheon.
That's true too.
In addition to the facts you've already established, that is also true.
But yeah, thank you patrons. This is, we're up and running. The first one we've had, we don't have to go into stats, but several of you guys.
We don't have to go into stats, but hey, Luke, I hope you enjoy this episode that's being made, especially for you.
It's just one guy.
It's one dude named Luke, and he loves the show. This has been awesome, and thank you for emailing questions. Now you get, this is all special just for you, guys. And also thanks to the – I know I've gotten emails from the guys who set up the Reddit page and everything. Thank you for doing that. Even if our online presence isn't there, we're aware of it. And let us please acknowledge you here and say thank you for that, unless you don't subscribe to the Patreon.
Yeah. Then piss off.
Then you guys could tell them to go fuck themselves on the Reddit and be like, when did they say that? On the special episode is when they said that, you dicks. On the one you're too cheap to pay for. By the way, if you are now a patron, I guess you could chime in with some audio request.
Yeah.
Some technical. The whole stance before, I'm like, how much was it? Free? Yeah. Then kiss my whole asshole. And I was like, if you guys want to drop a few bucks on the episode, I guess you can weigh in a little bit.
Yeah. That's a good one. Get out of here, burp.
Oh, Pat and Deb are on the back porch with my mom.
Really?
Mom and dad, yeah.
Mom and dad's in town.
Your dad's been belching back here the whole day. It sounds like the background of the Boogie Monster. I'm like, all right.
What are they doing in town?
They're just coming to visit the kids. Had a couple of days off, so they're around. Who knows? Maybe we'll dip in here. Maybe we'll get mom's take on some
get
stuff.
Get a Mothman update from Deb.
That was
a suggestion that I think should happen.
Maybe we'll get her. I've told her to keep her eyes to the skies. But, yeah, so this is our first listener submitted question special episode.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to give you the frills and fancifulness of weekly updates because they should live on forever.
Yeah, just meat and potatoes.
This is about you guys.
Uh huh.
The fun loving people.
Yeah.
And it's been a rough week.
Yeah.
Actual world news.
Yeah.
So hopefully this can be a.
It's been a
pleasurable respite.
Been a rough week on many sides. Many sides.
Yeah, listen, both sides had a rough week.
Many right? sides.
Both
yeah.
sides. A lot of fine people had a rough week.
Yeah. There's bigotry and hatred on many sides.
Yeah.
Okay.
Listen, I'm – what was I just joking with Alex? Like like where it's now, it's like, I'm racist and you need to respect that. Like everybody.
I identify
as a racist. This is who I am. Yeah, I was saying the exact words. Like, I identify as a racist.
I am a xenophobe. So, and that's now your problem.
That's a phobia. Yeah. That's a phobia. Mm-hmm. So you should respect my phobia.
I have a disorder.
We'll get into it in the weekly episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, oh, man. Let's. Do we jump right in?
I mean, why not? You know?
I feel like we got to do our, you know, we got to warm each other. We got to fluff each other a little bit like with the weekly episodes. Because I haven't seen you in a little bit.
I know. It's been a while. But,
I was out in the woods. We'll talk about that on Tuesday.
We'll get to that.
I was in the lake area and I got afraid of skinwalkers. That'll come on Tuesday.
We'll talk about that. That's very intriguing. Mm-hmm. If you're listening to this, you're obviously a patron or you're, I don't know. I don't know if you could. Get this illegally. I don't know if you could BitTorrent.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure somebody.
But if you're listening to this, you're obviously a patron. But if you didn't get in on this, on the Q&A, Boogie Monster, or no, patreon.com/boogiemonster, and we've got the question submission, the Q&A board, or whatever you want to call it. So if you didn't get in on this month, next month, just get on there and ask us a question, and we'll get to it.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, let's jump on some of these questions. We cracked open we got a couple cold Budweisers here.
Cold beer.
A couple cold beers. And Dave, go ahead and pick one.
Well, just for the sake of punctuality, I'll the very first one, it looks like these have been submitted in chronological order, or they're appearing in chronological order. Braden T. Do you think the people who say they have been abducted by aliens are just crazy, or is there a possibility of it? Well, that's kind of a broad question. I would imagine some of them might suffer from some sort of disorder or mental illness, but as a believer in aliens and UFOs, I would like to think that a good percentage of people who claim they've seen something or experienced something are, in fact, sanely telling the truth.
Well, as I've said in the past, too, I mean, sleep paralysis can take the blame for a lot of unexplained phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't suffered from sleep paralysis, we talked about it before. Dave, do you ever get it?
I don't think I have.
To recap, it's basically the middle point where it's the inverse of sleepwalking. Sleepwalking is your mind is asleep, but your mm-hmm. body's still awake.
Okay.
That's why you're physically moving everything. Sleep paralysis is the opposite, where your mind is still awake, but your body is asleep.
Wow.
And so it's that middle, almost lucid dream state
mm-hmm.
where when I've had it, you're falling asleep and you know where you are. There's no dream location. You're not mm-hmm. in some fantasy land.
You know you're in your bed, in
I'm
your
in
home.
My bed. Over okay. there's a glass of water I set down right uh-huh. before that. That's my window. I can still hear, you know, my neighbor out there doing whatever. But all of a sudden, elements, like dream elements, will come into it. And for me, it was like I would always hear a voice. I would hear like a grumbling, like when they do like a classic devil voice.
Uh-huh.
I would hear that in the corner of the room. Or I would, you know, get the idea of a presence. You read about sleep paralysis. They always have like there's like a presence in the room or someone sitting on the bed.
Hmm.
And I think that's where people get into the idea. Like it explains a lot of ghosts and it explains a lot of alien stuff. Because you're like, oh, and then they came, and I knew they were touching me, and I couldn't uh-huh. move, but I know I was awake, and that's – so I'm going to say sleep paralysis can take the responsibility for a lot of stuff.
Could be. So there you go.
It's funny. I just – as I was clicking on that, I just looked at a question from Alvin Fox that said, have either of you had sleep paralysis? So I just answered two of the questions. And then underneath it says so – Kevin Bybee says, Kyle talked about having that on an episode. I was like, all right. No, okay. You know, it's all taken. You guys handle it yourself then. I think though, I don't know, man. I would again like everything. I'd like it, but if I've met somebody, it's like, oh yeah, I totally
mm-hmm.
got sucked up.
Yeah.
Oh, that Saturday Night Live sketch with Ryan Gosling and Kate McKinnon.
Which one?
It's just they're being interviewed as being abductees.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
And Kate McKinnon is so funny. Like, Ryan Gosling just fell out. Like, nobody in the sketch could keep it together.
Yeah, she's funny.
She's just kind of a trashy woman. Like, yeah. Nah, and it came up. It kept grabbing on my honkers the whole time. There's a line of them little buggers. Like, it was good stuff.
Honkers funny.
Yeah. I think, I don't know. I think maybe they just took some people.
Could be.
I wish. Would you? All right, if the Dave, if the option was given to you, mm-hmm. like, listen, we're aliens. Mm-hmm. Do you want to go through the thing?
Absolutely.
Wait, you don't know the thing yet.
Okay.
The thing is, we'll listen, you can come on the ship.
They're going to play with my butthole, I'm assuming. Shit. That is my only hesitation.
I wouldn't. Okay. Play with your butthole or lose your taste buds forever.
Oh, boy. Ooh, well, okay. Is that a thing that happens?
In this scenario, it is.
Well, then if I lose my taste buds.
I'm an alien. Dave, how's it going? I'm an alien. We're real.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to come on board the ship and, you know, give us? It's like when something. It's like when your computer crashes. Like, do you want to send this report to Apple to help everybody else? Dave, do you want to be one of the subjects that we could test on?
Well, if that were the case, if that was the repercussion, that I'd lose my taste buds forever.
Yeah.
Part of me says go for it anyway, because losing my taste buds, as terrible as that would be, that would probably improve my overall health. It'd probably slow the beast down a little bit that lives within inside my belly.
You have to be purely a textual eater.
Yeah.
Textural.
But then knowing that is life worth living anyway.
Oh, man. But
if I have no taste buds. No,
then the rest of your life, you're like, I know there's aliens out there.
That's true, too.
And then think about all the eating contests you could win for, like, oh, this is the hottest. You could eat for free everywhere. Like, oh, if you eat the hottest bowl of ramen, it's free. Like, I'll get it every day for lunch.
Oh, man. As much as I would hate to lose my taste buds, I think I would sacrifice that to know and experience that aliens are legit.
I'd let them play with my butthole.
Yeah.
You don't have to be an alien for that. I don't give a shit. Wear a goddamn.
Oh, boy.
Wear a Yoda mask. Just be a stranger.
Lick them and stick them, fellas. Be a stranger.
Could just be somebody at a Halloween party. I'll let you do that.
Alex Holcomb asks, how do you come up with the album titles or the joke names on albums? Well, you have a very interesting approach to that, at least with the track names.
Yeah, I just stole all of mine.
I like that, though.
The first album was Cheap Trick Live at Budokan.
Uh-huh.
I just took all the track listings from that. The second one was Kiss. Alive. And the third one.
NWA?
Third one was NWA. Third one was NWA because, and then I just told it to him, it was Comedy Central, like, you can't do this. These are already signed. I'm like, well, that's funny because I did it on the last album, and you could just hear lawyers freak out. Like,
yeah.
Well, we might have to pull this off the shelves. I'm like, what shelves? It's iTunes.
But also, okay, on that logic, there are songs that completely different songs that share the same title,
yeah, you know, not covers and stuff. I blatantly ripped them off, and I like honestly, that's you know what, that hurts my feelings. Like with the way Gene Simmons sues fucking everybody,
yeah.
And I got nothing yet. So if Gene Simmons finds my album and sues me, I'll be like, all right, I made it because I'm on Gene Simmons' radar.
Yeah.
I also heard Cheap Trick isn't happy about. There's a bar in Chicago called Club Foot, and they would have, like, they kind of did their logo, like the Cheap Trick, like the offset type. And I guess they came through, like, yeah, you can't do that. That's our logo. Come on, man, Cheap Trick, you're supposed to be cool. Kiss. I realize Kiss is a bunch of dorks.
I get all that concern if you're a rock band. You know, if you're a rock band and you're lived, but like, totally different. Who cares?
Yeah.
But I've always thought that was a pretty interesting way to do it. Myself, I just have one album, and I was just, I don't know, the album cover came about with like kind of a recreation of like a outlaw country album.
Yeah.
So I tried to stick with that with the track listings and just make them sound like songs. I have like the Ballad of Don and Nancy and something something blues and just like old, like, oh, that might sound like an old country song.
Yeah, I hate it when it's literal, like, oh, fat chicks. Closing time.
Yeah. Tinder date.
Yeah. Just
come on, be a little creative.
Just let it happen. Yeah, my last one was just all the ingredients of a Chicago beef hot dog.
Man, that's good too. That was
just
great
like,
too.
Put them all in there. But it's funny for editing though, is I just have all the ingredients and then I'm like, well, we got to make the jokes fit into this number of tracks. So that's why the jokes are all over, because it's like there'll be half a joke in one track. Like, just listen to the album then.
The only downside of that is like if you come on Pandora or if I'm trying to show somebody, let somebody listen to one of your tracks, I have no idea what joke it's which.
Oh, and then you got to listen to the whole thing again. Tough shit. Gotcha. I can gotcha.
Oh, man.
All right. I'm going to do one. Tavin Kastner asks, one for both the guys. Out of all the extra normal things some could experience. Extra normal. I like that.
Okay.
Out of all the extra normal things some could experience, what would terrify you the most to encounter? I guess of anything. Supernatural is what I'm getting out of this.
Man, I think some sort of skinwalker would be pretty. They just seem so sinister and
have
the ability
justified to want to haunt you as a white man on their land.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
And again, some an motive. Experience that now I'm going to want to talk about on Tuesday, but we're going to Lake Powell.
Yeah,
and realizing it was a valley that was like Hopi Indians and Ute Indians, I think, and it was all just flooded out for people to jet ski. So Skinwalker, that was the one thing that did, like, when we were researching it, I was like, oh man,
yeah, that's the one that really got you.
Yeah, I reading about that, and because it was how nonchalant all the stories were about everybody chiming in, like, oh yeah, I see that, yeah, my buddy saw him, like. And it was all so casual about, like, it was very matter of fact.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, this castle was built in 1805 and was haunted. It was just like, ah, no, yeah, we were leaving a Denny's, you know, outside of Tucson, and there was a wolf sitting on the car.
Yeah.
And then the next day, my friend's grandma was like, I saw you guys at Denny's. And we're like, oh, goddamn it.
Yes. Well, yeah.
I was the wolf sitting on your car at Denny's.
Like the story I told that the guy Nate I talked to relayed to me about the coyote just showed up and looked in the window.
Yeah.
And then 2 months later, the employee was like, yeah, that was me looking in the window.
Yeah,
back in the window.
I was at your party.
And the reason that freaks me out is because if that's like, okay, there's obviously the type of skinwalkers that are – you know, kind of supernatural looking beast with superhuman speed or whatever. But if just a plain old coyote or a plain old wolf or a plain old bear could technically be a skinwalker, then like ever since that episode, now every animal I see, I'm like, is that a puppy dog or is that a skinwalker?
I don't trust these raccoons anymore, man. I think they got designs on them.
Yeah. Like hiding in plain sight, you know, that freaks me out.
I think anything that would be undeniable proof of something haunting, I'm terrifying, but in the moment, like in the moment, if we were just sitting here and you saw, say, that chair slowly move across the moon, like just something completely inexplicable, not like beyond a reason of a doubt.
Yeah.
I don't know if it would terrify me, but definitely in the moment, everybody thinks they're going to be a hero. I'd freeze up. I'd freeze up and piss. Like because I think about times when I do get scared, and if I'm a little stoned too, I'm just like I can't do anything. I'm worthless. Not dead. You've proven it.
Yeah,
well, worldly.
Yeah.
Like of the earthenly realm. You know, that's a different. But I'm like, if something just completely inexplicable, like, this table just started floating in front of us. I'd be like, well, I'm out.
Yeah. No,
I don't know what to do now.
There's no amount of bravado that can help you with that.
Yeah. Well, you're going to do out macho a ghost. You're out tough. Oh, fucking let's go, ghost. Take your shirt off. Let's go, ghost.
Bring it on.
I'm afraid of you. That's it, bro.
Oh, boy. Here's a good one. Tyler Van Winkle. I'll skip through the niceties. He's complimentary of us. I like the podcast, blah, blah, blah. Question. What are you guys' favorite/least favorite beers? Do you get into any microbrews or local breweries or just stick with the classic import-export? Thanks, fellas. I have hard opinions on this. do you want to go first?
About least and most favorite?
Yeah.
I think we're both on the same stand.
Yeah.
I – oh. okay.
We're drinking Budweiser
we're
right
drinking
now.
Budweiser's yeah. because we got to get rid of these to get to the Coors Light I just bought. I know there's certain parts that would like, oh, refined pails. I don't like any craft beers. I get it. Like, I get the hobby aspect, but I think so much of that is Stockholm syndrome. Like, so much of that is like, it's almost like a hot sauce challenge.
Okay.
Like, it tastes so bad, but you're yeah. supposed to notice the nuances in it.
Yeah.
And that documentary about sommeliers, I think it's called.
Oh, yeah.
Sommelier.
The wine yeah. folks.
It's
yeah.
fascinating uh-huh. how much they can tell from just tasting wine. Like when you become a master level sommelier, you mm-hmm. from a sip and a smell and looking at it, you have to be able to tell, like, obviously what kind of wine it is,
mm-hmm.
where it's from, mm-hmm. and what year.
Wow.
To drink something and be like, oh, it's this year.
They can tell how old it is?
I can only but, like, of that kind of crap, I bet there's people that can listen to a guitar. An electric guitar, or yeah. any kind of guitar, and like, oh, that's a 1967 Telecaster. I could tell because it had this. And I'm sure there's that thing with beers too. There you go.
Sorry about that.
You don't belch up an IPA yeah. like that.
Oh boy, didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, shake the foundations of hell right there. Pillars of heaven, foundations of hell, whatever. I forget how.
I couldn't give a shit about craft beers.
I try to understand them at least.
Just throw it out in the yard. I don't give a. I've tried. Now, you know, this isn't just yeah. blind, no, I'm not into it. I went through a phase, mm-hmm. you know, 10, 15 years ago. I was living in Athens, Georgia. There was a bunch of. It was right when the craft breweries really started to get popular. Yeah. And I was like, okay, I'll try this. And it just was like, nah. I mean, I'd rather have a Budweiser. I'd rather yeah. have a banquet Coors.
I'm going to drink a few of these. I want it to go down yeah. easy.
I want a beer I can drink 10 of.
Get me a little buzzy. I don't want a challenge. I don't yeah. want to challenge my palate with just bitter. Like, it's always like it tastes like somebody chewed up some almonds and spit it in there. Enjoy it.
To me, the IPAs, the real hoppy shit, tastes like fertilizer. It feels like IPAs, chemicals or fertilizer or something in there.
I feel like milk, stout, butter, soil.
Yeah. If I'm at a bar that just, you know, some of these frou-frou bars around here won't even serve a domestic beer. If it's no other option, I will look for like the amber or a brown or an amber
lager,
something like that. I stay with the IPAs. I hate all the wheat, wit, white bullshit. You know, I hate
drink like a Bitburger, like a German
I don't
beer.
Like. Well, Bitburger, I like. We get yeah. that at the old Red Lion.
Yeah,
but like just like a like Blue Moon, I don't even give a shit about. Just that
I do Blue Moons once. You know, well, when I'm on a like, you know, I don't drink Blue Moons because on Delta they have Blue Moon and Miller Lite, and if I'm feeling fancy, I'll drink a Blue Moon.
Yeah,
but then you got to go think like I don't want an orange.
Yeah,
just give me the can. I'll drink it out of the can. I don't need like soil cups.
Mm-hmm.
I will say those sour beers I've enjoyed.
Now, what would that be? I don't know if I've had one of those.
Somebody, like, try it. I'm like, I don't like any of this shit. It's just real sour beer.
Huh. Interesting.
Like, but I like sour, like sour candies.
Yeah.
Love a Sour Patch Kid.
Yeah, you do like that stuff.
I like that stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's a beer and it's sour. I can combo it up. Okay. I like it pretty good.
But if I'm ranking my favorites, if I have the option, Original Coors, my favorite.
Yeah, yeah.
I would go Budweiser right behind that. And then if I want to do like a Mexican beer, I know sometimes Mexican beers get frowned upon. I like a good Modelo Especial.
The Especials or Tecates?
Oh, Modelo Especial or Tecate. Mm-hmm. All day I'll drink that shit. So
I think that was once I moved to California and you saw people having the Mexican beer. Or I remember back in Chicago, one of the cheapest beers you can get, the 30 packs, outside of Pabst, like nobody else was really doing 30 packs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that. What was that turtle beer? You remember that?
Terrapin? Well, Terrapin was a craft beer.
No, this is a 30-pack. Okay. It was like maybe cheaper than Pabst, and it had turtles, like blue and yellow turtles.
I don't know that
It
one.
Looked like a kid's drink, and it was like you drink, you're like, this is not good beer. But there was 30 of them for $8.
Wow.
So therefore, it's a very good beer.
That's a good deal. You know what I love that I don't get a lot of this part of the country? I like a good Canadian beer. I'll do a
Molson Golden.
Is Molson the white label with the maple leaf? I think that's a Molson.
Yes.
I like that one, and I like Labatt. Is it Labatt or Labatt? I never knew how to pronounce it.
I say Labatt.
The Labatt Blue. And then the Molson. Those are good. Moosehead, I think, is a popular Canadian one.
On the East Coast, like a Yingling.
Yeah, Yingling's good.
I miss beers from my past that were the cheap beers. They were always Rolling Rocks and Red Dog. You remember Red Dog?
I remember Red Dog. That's
Red, drinking some 90s. Dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, some 90s college drunk on some a 12 or a Red Dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to, like, drink little King cream ales. One of those exploded in the trunk of my friend's car. Huh. I've never smelt anything worse.
Ooh,
that does I'm like, you rough. Need to clean this because it smells like you. Maybe did you kill someone? Or just put this broken bottle of Little King's cream ale in here?
Oh, man. No. All right, moving on. Pick one out.
Let's do one here. Okay, we got a two-parter from... how about this one from Tyler? Dave, can we look forward to a new special in the near future?
Hmm.
You got one album out there, buddy.
Yeah, I've only got one. Yeah. I'm actually, it's just a matter of just recording it, really. I've got a new hour kind of ready to go. But, I've always, you're one.
Got the players in the bullpen, let them play the game.
Yeah, I suffer from that syndrome of, is it ready yet? Is it ready? And then you could wait for years and years and years, but like...
It's never ready. It's never ready. And then you've told the jokes too much and
yep.
you hate them and now it's...
Yeah. I'm always hesitant. I didn't really even want to put out that first one. It was just like kind of pressure from some industry people like, dude, come on. You're ready to put out an album. I was like, all right, I guess so. But yeah, to answer your question, I would imagine probably early to mid 2018 I might have my next one drop.
All right.
Yeah.
Here's one from Amanda. Go back to the food. This one is weird. What constitutes an acceptable side dish / accompaniment for a bowl of chili? Is a side dish accompaniment even necessary? This is where it gets weird. I grew up in southern Illinois, and we always had peanut butter sandwiches to dip in the chili, and my boyfriend thinks it's super weird. He thinks it tastes okay, but before trying the peanut butter sandwich, was accustomed to chili as a standalone meal. Then Valerie Green commented on the question, said, "I'm from northern Illinois, and we always had peanut butter or always had butter and grape jelly sandwiches to go with chili."
Wow, never heard of that.
Both from Illinois, as am I. Never heard of dipping.
Never heard of that.
I'm willing to try it only because when somebody finally convinced me to have peanut butter and jelly on a burger, it was outstanding.
Okay. And I've had peanut butter on a burger. I haven't tried the jelly.
I go to the Doomies, which is the vegan junk food place, and they got a peanut butter jelly burger. And it's every menu, they're like, trust us. And I'm like, I'm going to do it this time. I'm like, oh, goddamn, that's great.
Wow.
But peanut butter sandwiches.
I've heard of people doing that with a grilled cheese on the side, dip it in the chili.
But that makes
a little more sense.
Mm-hmm. Savory into savory.
Yeah.
I never thought about introducing the sweet.
See, here's what I do with my chili, which we'll learn coming up very soon.
That's
patrons,
man. I think we should have a patron mark to give that chili recipe out.
Don't
throw it out.
We've already committed.
But that recipe is like, all right, when we hit 2,000 patrons, maybe the chili.
You think
recipe.
I should hang on to that one for a little while?
Dave, I've had the chili.
It's good.
I would say 5,000 patrons.
Well, here's what I'll tell.
More people who are going to have the recipe. Think about that.
That's true. Well, regardless if I drop that on the first Dave's Kitchen episode or not, here's how I circumvent that problem with do we need a side dish with the chili. I always boil up a pot of white rice, some steamed white rice, and I'll put that in the bottom of my bowl. And then ladle the chili on top of that. So the way I construct my bowl of chili is on the bottom I'll have a nice big scoop of white steamed rice. Then I'll ladle on the chili. Then I dollop some sour cream, sprinkle some shredded cheese, some sliced red onion, some diced green onion, and then some Fritos. That's my bowl of chili. And, boy, that is you don't need a side dish when you got all that going on.
I agree with the rice. What's your take on macaroni noodles?
I don't mind that either. I've seen chili that done mac. A lot. Yeah, like a chili mac. I'm not opposed to that at all. I always opt for the rice. If there's no rice mm-hmm. available and I got some macaroni or some elbows or some spiral pasta, then I'll throw that at the bottom because it just makes it last longer too. You know, get some more mileage out of the chili.
Lee Singleton chimed in, so a good piece of cornbread is great with chili. That I agree
absolutely.
With entirely.
Absolutely. I do it fried cornbread.
Oh, yeah. We yeah. saw that one.
Yeah. Nice piece of fried cornbread on the side. Dip that in there.
What about a biscuit?
Never done a biscuit with a chili, but I'm not opposed to it.
What's your take on a bread bowl?
I like a bread bowl. Andy Sanford has a great joke about that, an old joke about, I can't do it justice, but just about how there's no evidence whatsoever.
no proof
that I was even here.
Well, I mean, it's a sandwich, but with a... They're making jokes on those who can't for about... So my character tries to become a chef.
Really?
It's about like I made a Tidy Joseph's. It's like it's a sloppy Joe, but it's not as dirty.
That's funny.
But... Which I love a sloppy Joe, by the way. Really?
No thanks.
Really?
No thanks.
What's wrong?
Just a whole bunch of slop.
It's a chili sandwich.
It's a if you put that okay, it's shit chili is what it is. Now if you had if you did it right,
it's manwich.
It's garbage. It's just loose meat and ketchup and ugh. I've had too many bad ones. Now a gourmet one. My whole childhood, it was always just fucking everywhere I turned was a damn sloppy Joe. At school,
so good.
At home, just
manwiches. Was it manwich sloppy Joes?
Yeah, it was all generic manwich. Like now, I'm not opposed to the concept. If you took my chili and kind of turned it into a sloppy Joe, then that's a different thing. But
No on a sloppy Joe from that real yeah. curveball.
Yeah, just
real curveball.
Eat a hamburger, have some chili.
Old fucking found tacos over here. Doesn't like a sloppy Joe. Okay, all right. Okay, we're learning. We're learning about ourselves.
My whole childhood, I was just in the corner eating a manwich off a paper plate.
Yeah, that's everyone's childhood. Mm. What you grow up around Trump kids? That's how you eat sloppy Joes. You don't use your house plates for a slop. I don't think I've ever eaten one inside. That's why they're sloppy. You're outside. Go rub it on your face, get some food in there, and then go run through a sprinkler hose off. Go see if the neighbors will let you swim. That's my mom. Every time I'd be like all sweaty, playing like, go see if the neighbors will let you swim. That's how my mom would make me bathe in the summertime, was to ask my neighbors to let me use their in-ground pool.
Oh, man.
What do we got?
What else we got?
You want to throw one? Using the same program.
Yeah, I haven't really perused these. I'll just blindly grab one. Dave, have you ever heard of pineapple casserole? Says Luke DeGroot. That's a great name. That can't be his real name.
Luke DeGroot.
Luke DeGroot sounds like a wrestler. I've heard it's a southern dish. I made a recipe I found online that was basically pineapple, cheddar cheese, butter, and crackers. I'm interested if you've ever had this. I have... come across this growing up in the South, growing up in a Southern Baptist church. Second to Jesus, the most important thing in the Southern Baptist church is the covered dish dinner, meaning after service or maybe on a Wednesday night. It's just a potluck. It's okay, essentially what a potluck dinner. So after service, everybody go out to the fellowship hall, and everybody had brought a casserole of something or a dish of something, and you just got this long table, and there's literally 45 casserole dishes full of goop. And I would often come across the pineapple casserole. Never indulge. Never partook in that because – I haven't been to church in 20-something years, but as a kid, I was like, no thanks. Just
pineapple is always the candy of fruit.
I love pineapple. I didn't like the fact that it was mixed in with cheese and crackers.
Oh, that's what it is?
Yeah, it's pineapple, and there's cheddar cheese and crumbled crackers and maybe some Cool Whip or yogurt or some shit.
I'm curious about it. I don't think it would be good, but I'm curious.
Yeah, I'm always leery of fruit where it doesn't belong. You know, just stay in your lane.
That's a good sound bite. Dave, real homophobic. You just said, stay in your lane, fruit. Boy, these guys really revealed a lot about themselves.
You don't belong over here. Oh, here's another one real quick. Mike, no last name or initial, just Mike. What are your favorite metal bands? Now, you're more of a punk guy, but I know you have some affection for metal.
Yeah, and also, like, how do we define it? You know, we're both big Clutch fans. You got me
yeah,
the Clutch.
Clutch.
We
yeah.
like going to see. I don't know if they necessarily. They almost tipped more to, not quite as experimental as, like, a Mike mm-hmm. Patton project, but mm-hmm. they definitely throw some funk and some weirder stuff in there.
A buddy of mine, shout out to Christopher Pence, great comic out of Oklahoma. He had a great tweet. Clutch is just Dave Matthews Band for guys who listened to Pantera in high school. And although it angered me, he does have a point. They are they're the jam bandiest of the metal or hard rock bands.
They are, but still, Dave Matthews Band is one of those bands I listen to now, and inexplicable how they ever had a fan base.
Safe, generic, non-threatening, broad.
I mean, you know what? In later years, now, speaking now, I've listened to some Grateful Dead and been like, you know what? I always was supposed to not like them, mm-hmm. so I just didn't. And mm-hmm. now I listen, like, that song's fine. That's a good song. Fish, I still haven't heard anything. Mm-hmm. I would tell you a story about my buddy who went to a Fish concert to buy drugs, and the music was so bad he left before he could buy drugs.
No.
Do you know how easy it is to get drugs at a Fish show? And he just walked in and he's like, fuck this, and left without, like, there's like no way he could even stand it.
That's so funny.
But I do, like, that's what I mean. Like, Clutch dips into, like, yeah. different sounds. But I
every
like
album
when
is
bands
different.
Change things up.
Yeah. Well, Clutch has been around since 91, maybe. So they've been around almost 30 years.
Yeah, and as a musician, just had doing the same shit yeah. over and over again.
And they've done a great job of, like, I mean, they got their early shit sound very. I love Clutch, but it's hard to defend the fact that that one album, one or two of their early albums, very much Helmet. Very, which is another band I was about to mention. I love Helmet.
I just started listening to that. I'm like, you love know, I never Helmet. Gave Helmet a big chance.
Love Helmet.
Yeah.
Early Clutch is very Helmet, but then, you know, they got into some more, like, stoner metal, doom metal stuff.
Yeah.
Then they got into a little bit of, you know, bluesy, a little bit of psychedelic, like, love Clutch. Love Helmet, very underrated band.
Yeah.
Some of those early Helmet albums. Very... You know, not they didn't have a lot of range, kind of a one-dimensional sound, but that one dimension was pretty badass.
I'm a punk fan. You don't have to tell me yeah. about one-dimensional
yeah.
sounds.
I got to go. I mean, I grew up a metalhead, all in high school. It was all Pantera, yeah. Sepultura, Soulfly. That morphed into, like, Deftones, which, you know, Deftones was part of that new metal era, but I will defend Deftones that they had much more originality and creativity than just your average run-of-the-mill 1999 new metal band.
Well, and when you can look at it from now and not be surrounded by the people who also like those bands,
yeah.
I'm like, eh, so they're some good songs.
Yeah.
I love Fu Manchu.
Yeah, Fu Manchu,
some
I like.
Desert rock stuff. Mm-hmm. Metal bands, and I didn't grow up with too much metal, but man, there's a band called Tender Fury, and I only heard about them because they were on, like, skate and BMX videos, and they're, like, they're very late 80s, early 90s, not quite hair metal.
Okay.
A little more, like, filthy Guns N' Roses type tinge, and, like a little tip into punk stuff, but yeah, check out a band called Tender Fury.
Okay. Nice.
I just remember, I was like, what did I used to listen to? I liked it, but I re-listened. I'm like, no, it's still a good album.
Hmm. And of course, I got to throw in Mastodon.
Mastodon.
Maybe one of the more successful, you know, they've been going, what, 15,
they
20
do
years
heavy
now?
Stuff. They do. I know they kind of lightened up a little bit in later years.
Very prog.
Yeah.
But, and just great players, like, I mean, musicianships.
I mean, you got your early Metallica, Iron Maiden, all that stuff.
Love all that shit. I love just good meat, potatoes, metal.
I still get in the mood where I need it.
Mm-hmm.
Still get in the mood where I need it.
Yeah, big fan.
Let me go. Here's one from Robert M. Trobaugh. If you could pick one way for the world to end, what would you pick? Seems like somebody might be picking for us right now. I don't know.
That is a good question, though.
Yeah, I would. I mean, obviously, I would go first and foremost something instantaneous and painless.
Yeah.
But.
As opposed to, like, a plague where people are just slowly dying off.
Did you ever see that movie, Searching for a Friend for the End of the World?
I did. Yeah, Steve Carell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was really, like, I don't know if it was executed as well as it could have been, but this is the moment where, like, the parents are just having a party and they're just trying everything because they know the world's ending.
Yeah.
And even the kids are there, but it was Connie Britton. Ooh, Connie Britton.
I don't remember her.
She's from Friday Night Lights. She's in Nashville. Mm-hmm. She's a good looking lady there. And but she's hosting this party, and they're just like suburban parents, but they're like, oh, Cheryl brought heroin. Ooh, heroin. Like, because they're just trying all the drugs because the world's ending. Kids, oh, do man. You want heroin? Cheryl brought heroin. Like,
that's great.
I think.
What was the causation in that movie?
I think it was a meteor.
And they had like 2 weeks or something.
Yeah, I think that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not instantaneous.
But I'd like a little heads up.
But like, I would think the heads up.
What if we had a month to just bucket list, just all
which
right.
is kind of how you should live anyway, mm-hmm. Barring any extreme actions.
Mm-hmm.
You should never like. Yes, I know, plan for your future and all that, but be in the present.
Yeah,
I mean, I think it would force so many people to finally be in the present out of their whole lives, mm-hmm. thinking, planning for the future. Now you've taken that away. Like, no, it's now.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally now.
Absolutely.
Or never. And I think that I could. I think if the world had to end. In my own Ghostbusters sort of destruction type of way,
mm-hmm.
I would imagine a comet that would give us. It'd be cool to have like 6 months, but
yeah, I would agree. I'd much rather that than like a. I think something like a volcano would suck because people are just, just the lava's catching
well,
up
it's
to
the
us.
World, too.
Yeah, in the world. Yeah, that's true. Volcano not gonna kill the whole world.
Of course, if you die, that's your world.
Yeah, it's true. But yeah, the thing I fear the most is like some sort of epidemic or. Pandemic or plague or just some virus is just killing people like within the course of a week or two, just everybody just dominoes just
yeah,
dropping.
Your last sight is just everybody barfing and shit mm-hmm. everywhere. Yeah, no dice on that. I think comet.
Yeah.
Or something. Or if it had to be like at least like the most nuclear war. Mm-hmm. Not even a few where you gotta wait for the cloud to get to you. Like
yeah.
Just, if you're gonna launch a missile, launch all the missiles.
Yeah. Yeah,
I talked about how was it to ensure ultimate or mutual depletion. I forget what the phrase is, but that Russia had a device built during the Cold War. It was a doomsday device. It was basically that if it detected that a missile strike was happening,
mm-hmm.
and nobody reported to the machine. That it was false or that it's under control. The machine, like, i.e. meaning, oh, Russia has been attacked, and so nobody shut this machine off once it detected missile launch,
uh-huh.
that it would just launch all the missiles.
Wow.
Meaning, like, so even if Russia's annihilated, then fuck you too. That, wow. Like, think of how vindictive the human mind is to be like, well, if you're going to kill all of us, even though it won't matter because we're all dead... Then we're going to make sure you're all dead, too.
Yeah.
Like, the mind's, like, to have a militaristic, nihilistic mindset like that, like, well, I'm going to design a whole machine that'll make sure we're all fucked.
Yeah.
Even if I'm dead, I'm going to make sure you're dead, too. Like, Jesus. And I thought I got road rage. Somebody built,
true.
Used a science mind to make sure mutual destruction, I think, is the term.
Well, you talked about that briefly, that concept, in a previous episode. I think we were talking about Savannah. And Civil War and what makes a good – the mindset of a good general. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, I mean just the mindset of like, yeah, I'm good at strategizing how to kill large quantities of people.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay.
Just accepting the fact that my skill on this world
mm-hmm.
is – it's like it's still chess.
Yeah.
But it's chess with human lives.
Yeah.
And you're just going with it.
Oh, man.
Okay, what you got one over there?
Let's see here. Not even proofreading these. Nick, is there anything in the supernatural realm you both agree is total bullshit? And then part two, are there any underrated fast food chain restaurant items? speaking of which.
In addition to.
any supernatural that I think is total bullshit? Huh.
Well, flat earth. Get fucked.
I'm still not convinced in this bullshit.
Really? Eh. Come on, man.
I'm smart enough to know that I don't know.
You know what? You don't. You know, Monday we're going to watch an eclipse. And you know what's not? You know what the shadow doesn't look like during the eclipse? A fucking Triscuit.
I mean, I'm not arguing for it. I'm just keeping a sliver of.
The eclipse is going to be a perfect example of why there's not a flat earth.
All right, explain the science behind that.
The sun,
mm-hmm.
the moon is going to go. I fucked it up.
See?
But still, but other eclipses, a different eclipse. God damn it.
Well, you know what? You got
this
me.
This eclipse, all right. No, because this one, it's the moon is going between the Earth and the sun.
Yes.
So that has no bearing. That doesn't tell you what the shape of the Earth is.
Yeah, that was my point.
All right, fucking hold on. It's when it's a lunar eclipse is when you can tell, because that's when the sun is behind the Earth, which is nighttime anyway.
Okay.
It's nighttime here, but you're looking at a moon. You're looking at a full moon.
Okay.
But then the full moon gets blocked out by the shadow of the Earth.
The Earth? And yeah. And then the sun is the on sun's the other
behind
side.
The, here's the Earth. What you can't see right now is Dave and I are both making hand gestures to try and explain eclipses to each other. And both of us, we both just look like we're posing for shot put statues for the Olympics. That's all it looks like. We just both sitting there look like we're casting orbs into the universe.
Oh, God.
All right. Like, I don't know the science behind it. But when it's I think it's a lunar one. It's when the sun, like, that's the reason the moon is bright.
Uh-huh.
It's because the sun is shining on the moon.
Okay.
That's why the moon is lit up.
I guess.
That's the light. It's not generating its own light.
Okay.
That's why it's, and so you know when it's a half moon, it's cut out?
Uh-huh.
That's the shadow of the Earth.
Okay. Okay. Good point.
So that right there explains it. But then what's a fucking lunar eclipse? Whatever. Look it up.
I don't know.
It's bullshit on flat Earth. That's what I'm saying. Bullshit on flat Earth.
Let me think of another one. Off the top of my head, supernatural shit that's total bullshit. That's why I'm here. I kind of want to.
It's flat Earth.
Definitely. I kind of want to believe in all of it.
Say flat Earth.
I mean,
love of God.
I will. We've never really got into this topic
for
too much.
For my own respect for you, say flat
Earth. It's flat Earth. reptilian shapeshifters, like that, just seems like okay. That seems. No, I'm not saying I don't believe, but that to me, just off the top of my head, is one of the most like sci-fi comic book, like, you know, it's just reptilians that turn into humans and then back, and I don't know. That seems
but if
out
a skinwalker
there.
Could be a coyote.
That's true. I don't know if it's the mammal reptile thing I have a problem with.
Oh, you think it's going from cold blooded to warm blooded?
I don't know.
That's what the science is getting you.
And to answer Nick's other question, any underrated fast food chain restaurant items?
I think I've already spoken about the burger from Del Taco.
Ugh. I'll tell you this. Never been a big fan of McDonald's apple pie. But here lately, they recently broke out the cherries and cream fried pie, and now they have the blueberries and cream fried pie. Solid, 89 cents. Solid little handy dessert on the go. Got to give a shout out to McDonald's dessert pies.
I mean, I know McDonald's is the easiest evil one to get to, but I was always like, man, when I was broke and they had the 2 for $2 double cheeseburgers, man, those saved my ass.
McPick 2, $2.50, you can get two McDoubles. It's essentially a double cheeseburger, but only one slice of cheese instead of two.
Okay.
McPick 2 on the – yeah, good. Oh, let me throw this out real quick, okay? Wendy's, I feel like I've expressed my love for Wendy's. I feel like it's one of the top-notch fast food chain burgers.
Yeah.
They're fucking – whatever you call it, 4 for $4 deal, all right? For $4, you can pick a burger. You get like two burger options or a chicken sandwich option. What do they call the double stack is an option, and then they throw in a 4-piece chicken McNugget, a small fry, and a small beverage. $4.
That's a whole meal.
That's pretty solid.
That'll fill you up.
$4, and not just some total. That double stack is a solid burger. Like by itself, it's like $2.29 on the menu. But $4, you get that chicken nuggets, fry, and a drink.
Have you had Tommy Burger out here?
Where they put chili on everything?
We're leaving the show last night. Mm-hmm. We've got the whole gang out here. Whole family's out here now. We're gonna go to Wendy's, and the line was too long. And we're driving. I'm like, oh, Tommy Burger. Tommy Burger was good. I remember nobody liked it. Nobody liked the Tommy Burger, and I was defending it just based on principle.
Solid. It's a good burger.
You know what? I was like, no. Maybe because we got it like 11 o'clock at night or
something.
Wasn't
good? I mean, it's not great, but I've never had a problem with it.
I got the hot dogs right, and then the burger was just kind of like the chili. Maybe it's because it was cold, because, you know, we got it through drive-thru, and I had a hot dog first. But the chili was just like, it was just like burger spackle. Mm. It was just like some sort of meat mortar that was holding everything together.
Meat mortar.
Yeah. I felt bad. I'm like, oh, come on. It's an L.A. tradition. Then I'm eating it. I'm like, why?
Yeah.
This is not enough to be a tradition.
So you got a bad one.
You should want more.
I'll say this real quick and wrap up this topic. If you are fortunate enough to live in a region that has a Bojangles, I've talked about my love of Bojangles. One of the greatest little snacks, if you're in between meals, you're not really hungry for a whole meal, pull in the Bojangles drive-thru, get you just a plain butter biscuit and a small sweet tea. That is the Southern Fat Boy snack on the go. Just a plain, not, you don't got to go with the steak biscuit or the egg, but just a plain butter biscuit, small sweet tea, like less than $2.
Get some sugar and cholesterol.
Less than $2, that'll tide you over till dinner time.
This is a I don't have an answer for this, but Tim Watson said, ever heard about the theory that Kennedy was killed because he was trying to bring a silverback dollar into effect?
No.
I read this differently. Like, oh, the silverback dollar instead of a gold standard dollar.
Okay.
But I read it like he was trying to bring silver dollars back. Like, what a dumb reason to kill a whole president. Hey, like silver dollars, those fun collectible coins, he's got to go. We got to assassinate him. Anthony H. has a few. Oh, shit. This is information that I had no idea about. Okay. First two-parter from Anthony H. Kyle, what was is your favorite BMX bike? And Dave, aside from steak, what's your favorite recipe using a cast iron skillet? I will answer. What I had in the past, my first BMX bike was a Haro Sport. It was an 86, I believe, Haro Sport, right after the Haro Freestyler. It was, you know, kind of one of the foremost first freestyle bikes from the BMX movement. I always loved Kuwaharas. Kuwaharas always looked like, I just liked the way they looked. And they always had, like, it was like a black and yellow, which is always a good color combo with a paint splatter. Honestly, I look at them the way people just like collector cars. I love the shape of all the different kinds. I always loved the graphics packages that came with Haros, the Haro Sports and Masters of the late 80s, with all the pinstriping I thought looked good. GT's graphics always left something wanting. I like Dino's graphics. Dino Pro Comp was a sweet bike. It came with the GT. When you got the Pro Comp, it came with those classic GT alloy three-piece cranks. Dave, this clearly is where I can talk about sports.
Uh-huh.
As these kind of things. And I liked it when they got independent, like in the early 90s when all the independent companies were coming up. And, you know, S&M still going strong. Spaniards and Mexicans, uh-huh. BMX teams.
Yeah.
You know, finally, you know, for a way to them, for them to succeed. I'll just keep going on. But as far as favorite, I go, you know, it seemed like Ford and Chevy. You were either Haro or GT.
Okay.
The GT underneath it had Robinson, had Dino. Haro didn't have anything else affiliated with it. They were just Haro bikes. But that's what my cousin got first, and that's why I fell in love with them. I still love looking at them. I think they're cool looking at. Dave, best recipe. Favorite recipe using a cast iron skillet. Camped with a cast iron skillet all weekend. It was great.
Oh yeah, man, I like a real simple, easy fried cornbread. I'll
make the whole thing like recipes and you bake it in.
No, a lot of people will do regular cornbread that way. You can make cornbread, put your batter in the pan and throw it in the skillet and then throw it in the oven, bake it in the oven. I'll do a fried cornbread in the cast iron skillet where I'll just make my batter and then put a little oil on the stovetop, put the skillet and then put a little oil in the pan and then just like you're making pancakes, just dollop some batter and just let that thing fry up for about a minute or two on one side, flip it, just like a pancake, but it's cornbread and fried cornbread. Oh boy, big fan.
All right.
Easy as hell. And now you don't even get some homemade artisan, you know, recipe. You can just get the cornbread mix. Just get a box, you know, and you throw in a bowl, you mix in like some oil and some butter and an egg. So whisk that shit up, throw it in a hot cast iron skillet, fry 1 or 2 minutes each side, boom, easy, good.
All right.
Love
and
it.
And then a third part to this from Anthony H. Recommendation, The predecessor to Del Taco is reopening in Orange County. Check out Noggles. It's who Del bought out back in the day. And he said, thanks for doing what you're doing. Thanks for the questions and recommendation. I had a Noggles by my house when I was younger.
Noggles?
Noggles. N-A-U-G-L-E-S.
Never heard of it.
Noggles.
Huh.
It sounds like somebody trying to say New Orleans. Yeah. Noggles. I had no idea. We had a Noggles on North Avenue and Villa. It was Addison Road. Addison Road and Villa and North Avenue. I had no idea that's who Del Taco bought out and became. And we never ate at Noggles. My aunt and uncle would get Noggles. Like, oh, we're going to Noggles. I'm like, why don't we go to Noggles? My parents were like, we don't like Noggles. I'm like, what do you mean we? I've never had Noggles. Shit. I had no idea, and I would love to go to a Noggles.
So I'm sitting at Noggles.
I'm over at that fucking Noggles.
I look up at the sky. Next thing I fucking seen.
I think it's for, that one's for everyone. Chicago Matt Man here. All right, listen, okay. Sorry about causing all the big stir. God, hot. Yeah, I was hanging out up. We were over by the Chain of Lakes over there fucking around, you know, watching the chicks in the bathing suits coming around on the jet skis and shit. Oh, God, I love a thicker woman on a jet ski. There's something about that jiggle that gets me going. Anyway, I was sleeping in the trees over at the Fox River over there.
Oh.
Dipping down. I'm rooting in the trash outside of the Portillo's down there off Route 83. Everybody's taking their fucking pictures. Now I got websites talking about me. Just let me eat through the trash, all right? I'm not proud of it, but they throw out some of that chocolate cake shake. You get a chocolate cake shake, they only give it to you in one side, and you'll think, I'll finish a basic size. It's fucking huge. It's a shake with a piece of cake in it. Sounds like an asshole made it, but it's so good. You know, people throw that out. The shake part dries up, but there's still a piece of cake down in there. I'm going to go through the fucking trash and get it.
Oh, my God. So funny.
It wasn't even the Mothman. This is the guy justifying why he would dig through the trash in front of a Portillo's.
Some of your finest work. JC / Special Cases asks, how was your first time? You mean doing stand-up or getting down and dirty on it? Giving the old fuck punch to a young lady.
Oh, God.
No. Your first time was with you've told
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I've spoken of it.
Okay.
Yeah, my first time doing comedy was much easier.
It's with a
lost my virginity to a dancing lady.
Dancing lady. Was there a financial transaction involved?
No.
Just,
no.
She wanted to make a man out of you.
I think I was just a real weird trophy.
How old were you?
It's 21.
21?
Yeah. Huh. Old. An old man.
How about that?
Well, I was really like, oh, it's supposed to be special. No, yeah. It's got to be special. And then at 21, I'm like, man, fuck this special shit. Please, someone take this burden from me. And that's when a woman who called herself Crystal showed up in my life, trying to buy shoes at 10 p.m. at night and needed to use the phone at the gas station I was working at. It all started like a porno movie, except for the sex part was very nuts.
So how did the need for a phone call turn into banging young Kyle Kinane?
I made a mention, like, why do you need shoes at 10 o'clock at night? She's like, oh, I work at the gentleman's club down the street. I was like, oh, that makes sense now. And she just said she'd come in for a free dance. Like, well, fucking, all right. Look, things are looking up for me. And I did.
That night or another night?
Yeah.
Okay.
Get out of here in an hour.
Okay. So you went over there. You got your free dance, and then...
No, I paid for it.
Okay.
Oh, I paid for
it. Yeah.
In so many ways. So many ways did I pay for it. That's a stand-up story.
Yeah.
I think it's out there.
Yeah, you did that on... This Not Happening?
No, I didn't do it there.
No?
I've told it
somewhere.
What about yourself? There?
Myself, not as much of a late bloomer. I was...
9?
15. And I'm a survivor of statutory rape. She was 18.
Oh, buddy.
She could have gone to jail for banging young Dave.
Oh,
I was a sophomore. She was a senior. And here's my little faux pas that I made.
This question is just about stand up.
I was surprised that I made such a bonehead, no pun intended, mistake. I unrolled the condom first. And then tried to put it on like a sock. Just tried to shimmy down the old dong.
Shows how lacking in sexual education the public school system.
And she was not impressed. And she was just like, just, and she grabbed another one and did it for me. She's like, this is how you do it, you idiot. I'm like, oh, no.
Blow into it like a rubber glove when you're working at Subway. Hold on. I know this guy. I got more than a few sandwich artist friends.
Yeah. And let me. I'll expand on this. This is weird. All right. So that was 15. And my first sexual contact was when I was 13. She was 12.
Oh, boy.
Coming home from a water park in her mom's van while her mom was driving. For some reason, this is my little girlfriend, I was in eighth grade, she was in seventh grade, and for some reason, mom thought it to be okay to let us recline the seats, like, you know, like a standard minivan, that second row or third row will fold down, and then you've just got kind of a bed flat, you know, faux mattress area. And for some reason, mom used to let us do that. So we're coming home from the water park. I'm 13. She's 12. We're still in our bathing suits. Yeah. And she goes to give me a little HJ. Really? And immediately, just like within two seconds.
In eighth grade?
Yeah. And she was in seventh. Not even a teenager. She was 12. I was 13. Gave me a quick little HJ. And changed my life forever.
That was not ever part of my life.
Yeah, boy, I was quite the ladies' man in the younger years. Mm. It was good times.
Well, shit.
Yeah.
How was your first time doing comedy?
Yeah. About the same. I came immediately.
Blew my wad right away. My best joke first.
Oh boy. Strangest place you've ever taken a shit to Kyle, besides the Westside Cholo Bar. Great bit, by the way.
Thank you.
Everything's happening. That's my favorite line of that. Like, there's so many great lines, but then you go, whatever you said it before, but then you're like, so I'm sitting there, everything's happening.
Well, it's like when you know you're telling a joke about taking a shit, but it's not about the feet. You don't have to go into the gross details. It's about the story.
It's about the triumph of the human spirit.
Yes, exactly. And a vulnerability that you have presented yourself in. Uh-huh. I honestly, with how many times and places, nothing's been. Like, I was just in Lake Powell, just digging holes in the ground. Which I think is my favorite way. Camping and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's how you do it. You dig a hole and you're just part of nature. You're part of the earth.
I never even dig a hole. I'm so frequent, I can't dig a hole every time.
Well, in your situation, you're like a concrete jungle, not a place. You need a pickaxe.
Shit in a church parking lot the other night.
Oh, dude. What kind of church?
I don't know. It's a big church.
What denomination? I'm trying to tell if this can look like a hate crime or not.
No. No, not. Yeah. I just gotta do what you gotta do.
You didn't even do the kit?
Kit was, it happened too quick. Didn't have time to unload the kit. The kit doubles
as. The whole point of the emergency kit is that it's ready.
It doubles as storage for my notebooks. So I didn't have time to get all the notebooks out and find the trash bag. So I just went to.
Also, your library.
Uh huh.
The old joke that you call a bathroom a library is literally the bucket you shit in.
Yeah.
To hold your books.
Yeah, technically, yes. It just happened so quick, and you know, do what you gotta do. And almost made direct eye contact with a homeless guy while he was doing that. So,
no, it's because he was staring at you, or you were staring at him.
I don't know.
I used to do when I had a cat, I would like try and just stare at it while it would take a shit, because you could tell it locked and couldn't move its head, and I'd just get right at it and see if I could psych it out of taking a dump. I couldn't. Like, I thought it was like some weird mind control thing where we were locking eyes, but just.
Oh man.
Well, let's.
How are we doing on time?
We're at an hour. Okay. We're gonna take a couple more.
We'll do a few more.
You're the one. You got a show tonight?
I do have a show tonight.
Here's one from Nikolai Wadsworth. What is your favorite supernatural / horror movie of all time? Second question: would you rather get abducted by aliens or haunted by a ghost?
Hmm.
Thanks for the question. Favorite supernatural horror movie of all time. I don't know where Big Trouble in Little China falls in. I think it's more of an action adventure with some fantastic elements. I think that's just a good time movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's just a fun movie.
Yeah, that is a good one.
But now, it would get me scared as a little kid. Uh-huh. As an adult, you're like, oh, I'm not scared of this stuff. But I just like that movie.
Mm-hmm.
I got it. The new Annabelle's out right now. I really liked the first two. It's part of the Conjuring series.
Oh, okay.
When I saw Conjuring, the first Conjuring, I was like, oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot. Like, people are doing good stuff. Like, Babadook was real good. Last year was good for these horror movies.
I didn't see that one. I heard a lot about
Babadook
it.
Babadook was real good. I know what everybody said, but Cabin in the Woods.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one, right? Where they...
In the woods.
But it's all like... It's still like all the stuff happening is still kind of puppeted from hell.
I don't know.
They kind of are running it like a horror movie and like, uh-huh. Oh, we'll send in this monster now.
Uh-huh.
We'll send, like, so there's like this mission control.
Okay.
Where everybody's in this cabin is dealing with stuff. And they're like, it's like a choose your own adventure, unbeknownst to the people in the cabin.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, if we read this book, like, oh, and then somebody in mission control, like, they're reading the book, so we got to cast a spell on them. And they hit a button, and it's just, it was comedic, but man, like, the idea was original, and it was done well. Ooh, man, that's a good one.
Hmm.
Definitely a Netflix, or I would say buy that one on iTunes.
Okay.
When you think about what you'd spend for a movie ticket anyway.
Mm-hmm.
If you're stuck in a van wanting to watch a fun, scary movie,
yeah. Cabin in the Woods, yeah. Okay. Supernatural, I would probably go with, it would fall in line. I'm a big fan of Hellraiser. I grew up on that one. Ooh. Pinhead used to scare the shit out of me.
Oh, like, I felt that way about Jason was my.
Yeah. And then just straight up horror, not a lot of supernatural tones to this one, but I think I mentioned before the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about that one.
Just something about, like, that one scared me because of the lack of paranormal or supernatural. Just like, oh, no, that could just be some white trash family in Texas that goes around killing
people. Yeah, like, whenever it's, like, not a monster, mm-hmm. it's just like, oh, it's a person who could just suck.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of The Purge mm-hmm. is always kind of...
True, yeah.
Which, that far off.
Yeah.
Everything that was so ridiculous feels just not far off. Right?
That's true.
But those off the top of my head, I'm sure when we wrap this, I'll be like, oh, no, wait, but this was good. I love the early Paranormal Activities got me real good.
Yeah, were good.
Just messing with the idea and like the way they paced out,
mm-hmm.
like if it was like a sweeping security camera and be going back and forth. And so you're like, they're building like, something's going to happen.
Yeah.
But it wasn't even the same tension of like, well, something's going to jump out here.
Yeah.
It was just that finally when it pans back, you saw something just slip out of the screen.
Yeah.
God damn it. And Signs. Up until the end of Signs, that was a great movie.
I enjoyed that movie, yeah. We get to see a little bit of the alien walk by and the...
When it was on the roof, I saw that in the theater and with my buddy. And nobody else in the theater saw it. The little girl's like, I saw a monster outside. And you like look outside, but he doesn't see anything. And then lightning flashes, mm-hmm. so you see the silhouette. And my buddy and I, nobody else in the theater noticed it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, "Did you just fucking see the thing?" I'm like, "I saw the thing." And we're both just like, "Oh god damn it, this movie!" Like in the theater, like, "Oh, you son of a bitch!"
Oh man,
the ending was dumb, but that whole movie lead. I rewatched it again a couple months ago. I'm like, I forgot how creepy this movie was.
Yeah, that one, I mean, even though you know it's, you know, not real, but just the concept of like, oh, this is found footage or surveillance footage, you're like, mm-hmm. yeah, that concept is great.
Whenever somebody's watching the news in the movie to show reports from around the world and they had that one like, oh, here's a birthday party in San Paulo, Brazil or something, and it's mm-hmm. people screaming and you just see it kind of walk by in an alley.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whoa.
Here's one. Yeah, right, dude. In your opinion, what are some of the worst comedy clubs in the country and why? Do you have any specific horror stories from the road or even local spots? Well, I haven't never been too tight-lipped about my disdain for some comedy clubs. I'll do you one better. Not just a specific club, but an entire chain. Comedy Zone really fucking sucks.
you just don't want to work.
They just fucking suck. I know their Charlotte one.
They just became a patron, Dave, so great job.
People say their Charlotte one, and I've performed at many of them. The Charlotte one seems to be the one they put a lot of the money into, both in the actual club and as far as their booking budget. They'll bring in good comics. But, I started my road work career with Comedy Zone. I don't feel bad saying it. They don't give a fuck. They don't. They sign up some bar and grill or some hotel bar, and they charge them a shitload of money just to provide the half-assed talent. And they don't coach up these establishments on how to run a comedy show. They don't coach up. You got just Mexican restaurant owner or manager who now, every Friday and Saturday night we have Comedy Zone.
Let's clarify, the restaurant is Mexican, not the owner.
Yeah, the Mexican restaurant. I'm sorry. Yeah. But just, they just don't give a fuck.
People think it should be an easy concept. You just got to make shitty food and give it to people.
Yeah.
And serve the silly drinks. There's no idea that, you have to make it good for the show.
Yeah.
Or people won't want to come.
Exactly. Exactly. Maybe.
Or you should want to do that.
Yeah.
You don't have to, and you could probably make a nominal profit and have some garbage club.
Oh, and they got this – every show starts with literally the Jock Jam song, are you ready for the funniest night of your life? Here's some dipshit you've never heard of.
I've done the Charlotte one one night, special show one night. I'm like, all right.
That one's
good,
decent.
And
but, we're talking I don't know how they have now, but 10 years ago, they had 30, 40 Comedy Zones all over the Southeast franchise. And spread out and just dog shit. Just no thought into a booking, no thought into pairing up the feature with the headliner, no thought into anything. Didn't coach up the staff. Hey, in the event that we have a heckler, here's protocol for that. Here's protocol for this. We got to make sure we have a backup mic. We got to make sure we have a sound guy. None of that. Just go do comedy.
I think that's just any club without saying more. If it's just make money. Any business, make money without concern for the product. Then your product's shit.
Yep.
And so that's for any business or any club or anything.
And Comedy Zone would also do this maneuver. I don't know if they still do it again anymore. Again, I haven't worked for them for years. But as a young up-and-coming road middle act feature, they would every Comedy Zone gig, they'd go, you're getting paid – X amount of dollars, just for simple example, you get paid $250, but you're collecting $750, and we need you to go get a cashier's check and mail us a $500 cashier's check every gig.
What the fuck is that exactly? Straight money laundering.
Absolutely, every gig. Hey, you're getting paid $300, but you're going to collect $700, and you need to mail us $400. And there was one time that I really pissed them off. Broke ass middle act trying to work the road. I collected an extra $400 and I held on to it for a couple weeks. I was like, I didn't ask to be your cash mule. I'll get it to you when I get it to you. Or if you don't like this, maybe you could do it on the up and up every other business operator.
I'll just use this to pay my taxes the way you aren't using it to pay.
Exactly.
Yours. How would you like
that? I held on to that shit for a couple months.
That's why I think comedy clubs blew up, because they're such an easy way to launder money.
Yeah.
And they were such we paid this guy this much money. We only made this much. It was such an easy money laundering venture.
Yeah.
That's, I think, they just exploded in the 80s. Not only was everybody a comic, which is where we're at now.
Yeah.
Even though it's not comics that work the road anymore.
Yeah.
But it's still a lot of them.
Yeah.
It was the talents out there, which is why it went bust, too. There's enough people doing shit Robert De Niro impersonations that we can put them in there. People are coming. We can launder money. So they blew up. They flourished. And it went tits up, because all the comics, there's plenty of comics, most of them which were garbage. I will say that out of how many people are into comedy now, knowing that there's no easy way to get money, they're in it because they want to be good at it. So I think the caliber of stand-up comedy is much higher than it probably was in the 80s.
Yeah.
But I don't know who's playing at Comedy Zone tonight. It might be shit. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I would say with that one.
Yeah, that was the first 6 years of my career was just playing Ramada Inn hotel bars, under the moniker of Comedy Zone or Funny Business or what the fuck ever, and just nobody put any thought into anything, and it was just garbage shows all around. And I'm not shitting on the comics. You know, these rogue comics out there trying to earn a living, do your thing. But just very little effort into or even concern into putting on a good show that maybe – hey, maybe – what about the concept of repeat customers, repeat business? Maybe we send these people home with a good taste in their mouth. They'll come back.
As soon as you find out about the paying you too much and you have to mail them a check back, like obviously their priorities are
– Yeah, exactly.
– are elsewhere. All right. Let's do let's find one more here. You got one that's a good one to sum up.
Okay.
First episode from Brandon Boyer.
Okay.
Said, how'd y'all meet? Wrote y'all.
Uh-huh. I like
what
that.
What made you decide to start a podcast?
Huh. Oh,
that's a good little origin story.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
Well, I met when our friends Gilbert Lowen and
Jared Harris.
Yeah, Jared Harris. Jared was living out here. Mm-hmm. Jared. And he's like, yeah, I'm from Atlanta. We do a show out there. And I think it was the first time. Like, yeah, we do it. Comedy Gold.
Yep, Comedy Gold.
Out there. We work in addition to Laughing Skull.
Uh-huh.
We could feature at Laughing Skull and then headline at the Comedy Gold, which mm-hmm. was at – what was that place that was at?
It was called Buckhead Diner. Landmark Diner. Diner.
Yeah.
In and, Buckhead.
Yeah. And that was, I think that was like 2009.
That would have been 2009, yeah.
I remember I featured for Mark Maron.
Okay.
At
the Skull.
Yeah. That's when he's like, yeah, you should come. I have a podcast. I'm like, I don't even know what the fuck podcasts are.
Yeah.
So I was like number 35.
Speaking of shitty comedy clubs, fuck Laughing Skull, too.
Yeah.
Hey, we're the most hip progressive club in the country, and we do Best of Atlanta three times a month, so we don't have to pay real talent. Anyway, sorry. Yeah.
Well, I think it's also – yeah. Well, I mean, it also says like, if comics aren't playing there anymore, it's like maybe change up your game.
Yeah.
You know? I know. Yeah, I just –
all right, sorry. But, yeah, that's how we met.
Met there, yes. I came down.
I remember that show, too. Was that the – our buddy had a
Alexa. Shut the fuck up.
Our buddy had a 1 year anniversary show.
Sorry, Alexa, stop it. It's just going off.
Alexa, get off the carpet.
My girlfriend has an Amazon Echo, and she's not even anywhere near here. And it's shit. Want to talk about what's haunted? Shut the fuck up, Alexa. Stop. Do they have like if there's an emergency, like how your phone will give you like a flood warning or something? Can they just override all these robots that are in your house to just be like, I'm sorry to interrupt, but there's a nuclear missile coming? Because I don't talk. I haven't said Alexa. And this thing's been going off since I've been here. All weird like.
Hmm. That would be a convenient feature.
But I wonder, like, is there an emergency response signal that comes in on your TV when you're watching TV?
Yeah.
Emergency broadcast.
Or the Amber Alerts.
Are they plugged in? And could you hijack the emergency broadcast system?
Ooh.
To create a false sense of panic.
Hmm.
It's a weird way to get to from How Did We Meet?
Yeah.
Well, thanks to Alexa, the Amazon Echo. But yeah, we did that show at the Buckhead Diner.
Mm-hmm.
Jared wasn't even there. That was Jared's was...
He's probably out here.
He was out here, and his Live at Gotham was airing that night. So remember, we all watched it in
the
diner.
Yeah. Yeah. You were on that same season as well.
Yeah. Everybody was proud of the hometown guys. Like, this whole community watching watching their guy do it there.
And then we had the one guy who had his one-year anniversary show, and he did like 2 hours, and half of it was singing and dancing.
Somebody gave him a pint glass of tequila,
mm-hmm.
and he... sang and danced and cried a lot.
Yeah.
And I was like...
And I knew who you were. I had your album had already come out. So amongst comics, Death of the Party came out. But we knew who you were at the time. Your album had just come out. And we were all like, oh, this Kyle guy coming in from L.A. He's solid. His new album's great. And
he's solid.
And we were just like, oh, gee. You were just sitting at the bar. I remember you were sitting at the bar drinking Coors Lights.
Yeah.
And occasionally I'd look over there. And I don't even think we'd met yet. And I was just like, this is what this guy thinks Atlanta comedy's about.
No,
oh, I'm so embarrassed.
No, because I'd work. Well, no, because did we meet then or did we meet – and Alpharetta.
We met then, and then a few months later, we worked together in Alpharetta.
That was my first.
That was your first headlining
gig after quitting my day job, mm-hmm. and I bombed the whole fucking weekend.
You didn't bomb all weekend. You had some good sets.
I ate shit for the most part. You were crushing that weekend. Yeah. I was attached to a go-kart track.
Yes.
We talked about that.
Yeah, we would go ride go-karts. And then during the day, I'd come up and pick you up, and we'd go to Atlanta.
That's when you had the Lexus.
And I smashed
by. You sheared the mirror off of the Lexus.
I had this Lexus, and we were downtown Atlanta in Cabbage Town trying to go eat at Fox Brothers Barbecue. And there's this little kind of a one-way road in Cabbage Town, which is a little neighborhood in Atlanta. And you know, it's one of like a lot of streets out here. You know, it's a two-way street, but physically, because people are parking on the street on both sides, there's really only room for one car to pass at a time. So there was a car coming like 100 yards away. So I sped up to kind of just get out of his way and let him have the have the floor. And while doing that, I sideswiped a parked car and shattered the passenger side mirror. Right, yeah, you know, 8 inches from your head.
I was impressed too. I'm like, man, it's like a nice, it's like a earlier model Lexus, but it was in good shape.
It was Jared's grandmother's car.
'96
Lexus with 40,000 original miles when I bought it. I bought it in 2009. It was 13 years old, had 40,000 original miles.
It was in good shape, man. It was in good shape.
Car. Literally drove it to church and the doctor, and that's it. Beautiful car. And then shattered that. Mirror, and I was like, oh man, this dude's impressed with me.
I've been friends with a lot of people from the Atlanta scene.
Yeah.
And the podcast came because this is just shit we would wind up talking about after shows.
Yeah.
And hanging out anyway.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, why not? Let's do this thing that's not stand up, but that can still. But it was selfish. But I'm like, I wanted something I could promote dates.
Mm hmm.
Like, get out there and tell people when I'm touring.
Yeah.
And then this is what we're talking about anyway, and I have a pretty good time talking about this stuff, but other comedians just think you're fucking crazy.
People,
you know what it is? You talk about this with other people, and there's not enough humor in it. They get way too intense.
Exactly.
Because they're non-comedian types, and it's like, wait, like, well, I don't want to be serious about it, but I want to talk about this stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what we would do.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are.
Here we are.
Just over a year later.
Exactly.
Asking for your money. To listen to our bullshit.
Exactly.
So thank you for that.
$4 a month. Spread the word. Tell your friends. Sign up your mom.
Sign up your mom.
Sign up your mom, dude.
Well, hell. Thank you, everybody. There's a lot of questions we didn't get to, but you know they're on the list, and they will exist on this board for the next episode as well. So, thanks so much, everybody.
Yeah,
for
spread the word.
Thinking we are worth enough to part with your cash.
Exactly. Yeah. And somebody tweeted at us the other day, why doesn't Dave just use this money to get an apartment?
We'll get there.
And I was like, who said I'm not?
That's kind of what's going on. That's what's going to happen. I mean, you know, hey, you know what it is? You celebrate something too much, you're going to ruin it. So if you want to hear those piss jug stories, maybe don't give any money.
For just $4 a month, you can help young Dave get out of a van.
Young Dave, who just turned 40. Just you sitting shirtless with flies on your eyeballs. Like, oh, Jesus. Somebody get this guy some water. Look at how distended his belly is. Nah, he's just fat. He's doing all right.
Oh, that's so funny. We got to do a commercial.
You want to do a Sally Struthers video for you?
Oh, for less than one IPA a month.
We either do it like one of the starving kids, or we do the Sarah McLachlan one, and it's you in a hot fan looking through the window real sad.
Just shivering.
Oh, God. We're going to have to break the window to get him out.
Oh, boy. All right. Put a bow on this one.
Thanks for listening to our first ever Patreon user-submitted question episode. And
just to recap, we'll try to drop these around the 15th of every month, and Dave's Kitchen will drop around the 1st of every month.
You betcha. All right. See ya.
See ya.
The Boogie Monster.